Thanks so much for listening today. We hope that through this message, you are being filled with the grace and hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. If this message and ministry has made an impact on you in any way, be sure to let us know about it by emailing us at mystory@thefuelchurch.com. And even if you couldn't be here in person, be sure to check in with us on Instagram and Facebook to let us and others know that you are listening and growing with us here at Fuel Church. Every month through these check-ins, we are making a global difference. Now, let's jump into this week's message.
And so today I want to take a step forward and talk to you about this. My title is Small Steps to Creating Habits. Small Steps to Creating Habits. Can we say it together? Small Steps to Creating Habits. You sounded good, 1245. One more time. Small Steps to Creating Habits. One guy said, our habits will either make us or break us, and we become what we repeatedly do. We become what we repeatedly do. They say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. Very interesting, because 21 is a specific number in the Bible, and that's hence the 21 days of prayer and fasting that Daniel went on in the Bible. But they say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. Some of you are finding that out because you these last 21 days you went without coffee. Come on, somebody. That's hard. That's hard. Some of you went without sugar. Some of you went without a cigarette. That's hard when you're addicted to smoking. Some of you went without a drink of alcohol, right? It takes 21 days to make or break a habit. And we have to learn to have godly habits in our life because habits are so important. Now, I understand most of us make New Year's resolutions and we have these goals and we have pages of them. And this year I'm going to lose weight. This year I'm going to get to this financially. This year, this is going to happen in my relationships. I'm going to take better care of myself, all this stuff. And we can write all that out, but here's the thing, church. Can I be honest with you? If we don't change our habits, we will never change. Because we are what we repeatedly do. Our habits will either make us or our habits will break us. We are what we repeatedly do. If we can have all the goals in the world, but if we're not changing some habits, some day-to-day things that we do, we will not change. We will not change. And so very interesting that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. I know what some of your husbands are thinking. Not my wife. She's indecisive all the time. Not my husband. What do you want for dinner, babe? Really? We don't have Wait, here's another one. What do you want for dinner? Whatever. Oh, I don't have no whatever in the freezer to make. Any of you ever heard that? Yeah, that's what my mom used to say. My dad would say, well, whatever. She would say, I don't have whatever to make. 35,000 decisions a day we're making. Okay? Now, what we've learned in the series is this. Our thoughts become what? Our words. Our words spoken out of our mouth become our actions. Our actions, here we go, become our habits. So it all starts in the mind. It all starts in the mind with the thoughts. With the thoughts. Then out of the mind, if it's in the mind, it comes out of the mouth. And there's words that are spoken. Words that become actions. And then actions which become habits. Habits which end up creating our destiny or the future that we are living in. Are you with me so far? I want to help you today. I want you to lean into this message today. And here's our key thought for this whole series. You've heard me say it. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. Isn't it? Let's say it together. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. And it's so true. It's so true. I mean, it's so true financially. Like you start saving money and you start being diligent with your money and you stop going out to eat, and then a year and a half later you realize we're out of debt because we did that. We did something daily. We shifted something weekly. We shifted something monthly. It was something small, but it made a big difference, right? We see that physically. It's the change that you make, maybe in your diet or the exercise that you need to do to get your health back. The doctor said, hey, you want to live long? You want to get that blood pressure down? Here's what you need to do, right? It's the small things. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. Relationally, it's the steps that you've taken to forgive that have allowed healing to happen in that relationship. It's the small things that nobody sees that God is working on your heart, maybe during this 21 days. Every time you come here, maybe God is speaking to you to release that individual, to forgive. It's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. What about spiritually speaking? We talked about that in week one. It's those first 5 minutes that you just say, I'm going to give to God. You say, well, 5 minutes really won't make a big deal. Yeah, it will. It sets your day on a great course, right? It gives you a fresh perspective. And then that 5 minutes is going to turn into 10 and then 15 and 20. Why? Because then it becomes a lifestyle. And then you're in your car and you're praying and you're worshiping. Then you're at worshiping at work. Come on, somebody. It's part of who you are. That's why you were created in the image of God, to worship him. And so it's those small things, those small habits that we get that can make a big difference in our life. Here's what I've learned. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. When I see a successful person, I know that they're consistent. You know who they are in your life. You can look at individuals maybe you work with, maybe you live with, maybe in your family, and you say, they're consistent with that. They're consistent with it. When other people do it occasionally, when other people just do it whenever they feel like it, but successful people do it consistently when other people are doing it occasionally. So I want to talk about habits, because you have habits right now. You have some bad habits and some good habits. You have habits in your life. Whether you know it or not, you have habits. And the Bible says a lot about habits. Actually, Jesus had some habits. Would you believe that? Jesus had habits. The Bible says he had a habit to pray to the Father. You see throughout the Gospels that Jesus would take moments when he would escape from the crowd and he would pray. We also see that he would escape from his 12 disciples and go off to the side and he would pray to the Father. He had a habit of prayer. I mean, you would have a habit of prayer too if you had Peter in your inner circle. I mean, this is Peter. Like, he still had a little bit of an anger problem, right? This is Peter. Took out the knife, cut the dude's ear off. Jesus picks the ear up, puts it on his head, says, can you hear me now? No, you didn't get that? This is Peter. He loved Jesus. He's the one that came out with the shirt. I love Jesus, but I still curse a little. That's Peter. He was crazy. Always running his mouth. Always getting in trouble. Jesus said, I got to have a habit of praying for this joker right here. And I got Judas off to the side about to do something crazy. Oh, y'all better read your Bible. So Jesus had a habit. Paul had habits. We see this threaded throughout the whole Bible. People had habits. People that were successful, they did things consistently. They did things consistently. Spiritual habits. They had consistent spiritual habits in their life. Paul had a habit. The Bible says he had a custom of going to the temple. What does that mean? He had a habit of going to church. You know, that's a good habit. I think that's a great habit, that you would go to church every time the doors are open. That you create a habit of going to church. Many people, they don't go to church out of habit. They go out of church of, this is the best option that was available for me. Or they go to church out of feelings. I feel like going today, so I'll go. But if I wake up on Sunday morning, I don't feel like going, I ain't going. Oh, y'all ain't with me, are you? Kill a shout up in here. But Paul had a custom. He also had a habit of this. He had a habit of sharing his faith to unbelievers. This is Paul, he had this habit of everywhere he went, he just let his light shine. Like, he let his light shine. You know what happens when light shows up in a dark area? The dark dissipates. The dark leaves. See, whenever you show up with the light of Jesus, darkness has to flee. So it's not really a matter of what you say to the unbelievers you work with, live with, that are in your neighborhood. It's a matter of you shining your light. I love this quote. I don't know who said it. Someone will find it, but preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. St. Francis, there it is. Preach the gospel, but when necessary, use words. All you need to do is let your light shine. There's so much darkness where you work, isn't there? There's so much darkness where you live. There's so much darkness in your home. All you need to do is let your light shine. I think for so long, Christians have gave Christianity a bad rap because we think telling people about Jesus is confronting them of their sin and telling them they're going to burn in hell and holding up a sign on a corner that says turn or burn. That's not it, man. And we've given Christianity a bad name. We've given Jesus a bad name and we've turned a whole lot of people away from God because we thought that was going to reach them when all people want to know is, do you really have joy and peace that you talk about? Are you really going to love me even when you know the condition I'm in? Even though you know I'm addicted to heroin or meth or an alcoholic, will you pray with me and love me the same way? Oh, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now because what would happen if you go in on a Monday and you weren't grumpy Betty like you are every Monday? Now, everybody in your work knows you go to Fuel Church and everybody sees your little shirts and your little Jesus buttons. They see your little fuel sticker on the back of your window, but they don't see Jesus in you. You grumpy, you complain. Here she comes, everybody. Here he comes. Oh, this is going to be a pretty crazy week. He says he loves Jesus, but I don't see none of it coming out of him. Isn't that sad? I'm just talking, guys. Can I talk with you? I'm not saying it's you. It's probably the first service, right? It's probably them, isn't it? It ain't you. It's them. It's the 11 o'clock. That's sad. We give Christianity such a bad name when all people want is love. When all people want is, man, I'm sorry to hear you're going through a divorce. Can I pray with you? Do you know not even an atheist will say no to prayer? No. You ask people who are far from God outside of these walls, can I pray? Yes, please pray for me. I mean, people want prayer. People want a hug. People want to know that you care about them. People want to know. Stop talking and just be a light. Be a light shining in the darkness around you. That's not in my notes, but that's free today. That's free. Habits matter. Our habits will make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. Habits matter. Habits matter. Habits matter. Habits matter. Play. Habits matter. Yeah, the CD's skipping. Habits matter. We become what we repeatedly do. We become what we repeatedly do. Look at your life right now. You have some bad habits. You have some good habits. If you want 2019 to be different, if you want it to be different, create some godly habits in your life. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. Listen, you know the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. And some of you fall into that definition. Because you came into 2019, you're doing the same thing spiritually, physically, mentally, relationally. You're doing the same thing and expecting different results, but you're not changing your habits. Hit your neighbor and say, he's really here to help you. Go ahead. He's here to help you. He's your coach today. Someone say, speak it, coach. Because here's the reality. 92% of your New Year's resolutions are gone by February the 14th, Valentine's Day. They gone. They're gone. We don't keep them. We don't keep them. They're gone. And you know how it goes. You set goals. You write down things. But it never lasts. There's no true change until we change some things we do daily, until we change some ways that we're living, till we create some habits And what happens when we don't do that, we end up feeling like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. That's where I want to go today. I know you've been wondering, when is he going to get to the scriptures? We're there. Here they are. Aren't they beautiful? Listen to Paul. I don't really understand myself. When I read this, can you just kind of work with me? Because I really feel myself in these scriptures, right? Like, I feel the tension of Paul. I feel the struggle of Paul in these scriptures, and I can put myself in the text. Would you put yourself in the text with me as we read? I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. When I don't want to do what's right, I don't do it, Paul said. Anybody relate? You know what to do is right, but you don't do it. Like, I want to get a six-pack, but I like donuts too much. Come on, somebody. I want to be more wise with my spending, but I love shopping at Target. Come on, somebody. I want to do that, but I like carbs too much. Come on. I love carbs. I want to stop binge watching Netflix, but I don't do it. Paul's saying I'm in this kind of tug of war with myself. Because on one hand, I know what to do is right, but I don't do it. And he goes on to say, and I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. And that's true, right? Nothing is good in your sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Do you feel yourself in the text? Anybody besides me? I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I do it anyway. And here's where Paul really connects with us. Look at this. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Can't do anything right. I'm always failing. I never stay to what I say I'm going to do. Said I was going to have a prayer life this year. I'm already off the train already. Said I was going to be back to the gym, but I just went for Pizza Monday. I said I was going to get my heart right concerning that relationship, but it's getting worse. I'm miserable. Paul's saying, I'm miserable. I don't know what to do. I know what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. Who will free me? Who's going to free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And here's where he gets to the source. Watch this. So important. So important in this tension that we find ourselves in with Paul. Thank God the answer is in. Who? Oh, come on, church. You're sounding good. Say it again. The answer is in who?
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
There's the source. There's the answer. There's the answer to this tension that we all feel. We know what to do, but we don't always do it. We know what's beneficial for us, but we keep doing things that are harming us. We know what's going to bring us joy, but we keep doing things that bring us sorrow. And we're kind of straddling this line of, I know what God says, but my flesh is saying this. I know I need to forgive, but I want to punch them out because they hurt me, right? I know I know I need freedom in my thought life, but I love entertaining these thoughts. I know I need to walk by faith, but fear is my best friend right now. And Paul says, it's made me miserable. Miserable. What Paul does in the text is what so many of us do. What so many of us do is he connects how he feels to his identity. Watch this. He connects how he feels to his identity or who he is in Christ. What Paul does, what most of us do, and Paul is the first to coin hashtag in my feels. This is Paul, y'all. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's kind of a big deal. But here he's struggling. And I love that about the Bible. It shows people's struggles. Because I struggle. I know y'all got it together, but pray for your pastor. I wanted to run this truck over today on the way to church. And I said, this is what I said out loud. Sir, you got a 4x4. There's no ice on the road. Go, because I got to go preach the gospel and you're holding me up. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. Because when I go to the donut shop, I don't want 2 donuts. I want 20. Y'all pray for me. When I eat pizza, I don't want 2 slices. I want the whole pie. Pie. They call it pie in New Jersey. I'm sorry. Pizza. Y'all pray for me. Because I can relate to Paul, because Paul was hashtag in his feels. And what happens to us is the same thing that's happening to Paul right here. He connects, well, watch this. He connects how he's feeling. He connects it with his identity in Jesus Christ. He connects it. And let me submit to you, friend, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings are not always the truth. Sometimes, most of the time, my feelings lie to me. And what happens is, watch this, what happens is when we connect the way we feel about ourselves, because this is an internal struggle right here. Do you see it? This is an, I want to do what's right, but I keep messing up. I want to do what's right, but I keep sinning. I want to do what's right, but I keep making mistakes. I want to do what's right, but my flesh keeps falling into that same sin. Paul called it sin. Look, it's right there. He called it sin. He said, I keep messing up. And what happens to us is when we connect our feels to our identity, this is what happens. We make a mistake, therefore we think we are a mistake. We sin, therefore the devil tells us we are a sinner. Are you hearing me? We fail in some area, maybe our marriage, maybe in parenting, maybe in our money. We fail, therefore we believe our identity is that of a failure. And you need to know today that you need to disconnect how you feel to your identity found in Christ. I may have made a mistake, but I am not a mistake. I may have sinned, but I am not a sinner. I may have failed, but I am not a failure. I am who God says I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am called to be the head and not the tail. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am a child of the Most High God. I am not a victim of my past, but I am a victor because of what Jesus did upon that cross. I do not hold on to my sins. I release my sins and I give them to Jesus, and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. They are removed from me, and he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. Therefore, I don't need to grab the fishing pole and go fishing for him any longer. I am free. I am forgiven. Woo. I want to preach, but I got to take this off because I've sweated through this 3 times. If you hug me in the line, forgive my odor. But Paul says, I'm torn. I'm torn, and I know what to do. I know what the Bible says. I know the right steps to take to get my health back. And the doctor said, if I don't, I'm not going to live long. I know what to do, but I don't do it. I know what I need to do to forgive them, but I don't do it. I know what I need to do to release them, but I don't do it. I know what I need to do to get closer to God, but I don't do it. I don't do it. Because we've connected our feels, how we feel, with our identity. But then the light bulb goes off with Paul. It comes on. Watch this. I'm miserable. Who's going to free me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God that the answer is in Jesus and not in me. Did you hear that? Because you're trying to work yourself up to be good, and you can't. Stop trying to be good and get good and getting good graces with God, you're already his favorite child. Go ahead and hit your chest. Say, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. I don't know about you, but I'm his favorite. He's my daddy. I'm his daughter. I'm his son. Paul said, here's the answer. It's found in Jesus Christ. If you want to create some good godly habits, Jesus has got to be number one. He's got to be the number one habit that you create in order for stuff to line up physically and mentally and financially in your life. You got to line everything up spiritually first. Is this all right today? Yeah. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's where I find the freedom from that sin that I keep going back to. He's where I find the answer, those chains that try to bind me. He's where I find the answer of that past that tries to plague my mind and replay the DVR of my past. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer. It's found in Jesus. He's the one that gives me strength. He's the one that picks me up when I fall. He's the one that says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life begins. He's the one that said the good work that I've started in you, I will perform it until the day of my return. He is the answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That clock's got to be wrong. It's Jesus. I need to tell you, you're not always what you feel. I need to tell you, you're not always what you feel. And what happens is we have good intentions to have a better year. I mean, I don't think anybody would say, man, I want a worse year. 2018 was bad, but I want 2019 to be worse. It was awesome getting my heart broke. It was awesome filing bankruptcy. It was awesome letting bitterness creep in my heart. It was great. I hope 2019 is even worse. If someone says that, please pray for them. We generally have good intentions, but most of us will fail. And here's two reasons why. Number one, we focus on the what, but don't understand the how. We focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. We focus on what we want to accomplish. We focus on what we want to become, but we don't know how. Like where do I start? Where's the starting point? I don't know how. And a lot of times we defeat ourselves because we get overwhelmed on where to start. Like, how do I achieve what I want to desire? Is it setting goals? Is it having a vision statement? What is it? And I heard one man say this: goals don't determine success. Habits determine success. Habits determine success. Now, how does this apply to my spiritual life? Well, it applies in every way. See, if you don't have good habits to your devotional life, you're going to struggle spiritually. Do you hear me? Like, if you don't have a good habits, if you're not carving out some time for God in between Monday and Saturday, then you're going to struggle spiritually, and you're not going to be able to hear God's voice as clear. You got to create some habits. We need habits. We need habits of prayer. We need habits of being faithful to come to God's house. Daniel had some habits in the Bible. I love this about Daniel. It said he was favored among all the young men in the Babylonian community there. And he was brought into King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar favored Daniel. Even though Daniel worshiped Jehovah God, he would not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. He worshiped God. He found favor with God. But the Bible says something very key for Daniel's life, that he had a habit that three times a day he would kneel in prayer. Did you hear that? Three times a day, he had a habit where he would kneel in prayer. He had a habit. God gave him favor. God brought him into the palace, gave him favor. The Bible says that he had wisdom and he was able to interpret dreams and visions. Why? He had some godly habits. The Bible says that Daniel, do you remember? He was thrown in a lion's den. Do you remember that? And the lions didn't touch him. It's the very first ever Daniel fast. You're slow in the back, but you're worth waiting on, honey. Some of you get that on the ride home. They didn't eat Daniel. They were fat. Anyway, if you want to grow in your faith and be faithful, you need godly habits in place. The reason some of you aren't faithful to God's house is because you don't have those habits in place. You're not faithful to pray, and only when something blows up in your life, then you want to pray to God. But no, God wants to communicate with you every day. He wants a relationship, not a religion. And so you got to cultivate these godly habits. I heard someone say this a few weeks ago, without a devotional life, you will have an emotional life. So true. So true. You're in your feels every day. No devotional life. You're living by your feelings when the word says we walk by faith, not by the way we feel or by what we see. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. So how are you going to get to where you want to go? Well, you got to create some habits. See, the problem is we need to change the habits that create the results. We need to change the habits. How we're going to get there. We know what we need to do, but now we need to put the how. Come on, we need the vehicle of a habit to take us to what we want to achieve. Are you with me today? See, if we fix what we do and how we live and the habits in our life, the outcomes will fix themselves. Do you hear me? If we fix ourselves and we focus on some godly habits, then the outcomes will take care of itself. We'll achieve what we want to achieve. And that goes for every area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally, financially. We got to focus on the how. We got to get some habits in our life. The second reason we don't succeed in achieving our goals or resolutions is we don't see progress fast enough. We don't see progress fast enough. You know why? Because it's not happening like our order at McDonald's does. Did you hear me? You pull up, you order a number 4, biggie size with a Diet Coke, because that's a whole lot better for you. It's really, anyway. And by the time we get to the window, here's your order, sir. And so we don't see progress fast enough, so we end up getting frustrated. We end up wanting to give up, don't we? We walk on the treadmill 4 times a week for 2 weeks and gain 3 pounds. Doesn't work. Throw the treadmill, put it on eBay. Do they even have eBay? I don't even know. I don't know. Put it on Marketplace, whatever it's called. We start our devotional time for a week and we're doing good, but then on Friday the kids come home and we yell at them and get angry and hurt their feelings and they run off crying. And you say, this devotional stuff to God doesn't work. I'm still angry with my kids. I still want to slap them into tomorrow. We go to church 2 times in the last month, but didn't see it helping our lives, right? We don't see progress fast enough. We don't see the results. And because of that, we wrongly conclude that small, good decisions don't matter that much. They don't matter that much. But I'm here to tell you they do. Small things matter. Small things matter. There's something about someone who's faithful to God's house. There's something about a pastor knowing that so-and-so is here no matter what. They're faithful, faithful, faithful. There's just something about it. I can't explain it, but there's so many of you in this church that are just faithful. You're here no matter what. You're here to support the vision financially no matter what. There's something about the faithfulness of somebody. Get faithful to something. Be faithful to someone. Amen. You begin to shine in your life. So many times we get frustrated. We get frustrated. But church, our life is really the sum total of all the small decisions we make. It's not the big decisions that we think. It's not the big thing. It's the small daily decisions that we make that have created habits in our life. So our life is the sum total of all those small decisions. Who you are today is definitely a result of the small decisions you made along the way. The small decisions. You're close to God today because you made a decision. I'm not just going to go to church, I'm going to be the church. You're close to God today because you said, I'm going to start a devotional life. I'm going to start really getting to know God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read other books, and I want to grow. I want to grow my faith. You are today because of the small decisions you made yesterday. You will be tomorrow. You will be tomorrow. You will be tomorrow. The small decisions you make today. What are some habits that you can create? What are some habits that you need in your life? And I know we see other people succeeding and we want what other people have and we see them crushing it and we think it happened overnight. Listen, there is no overnight success. There is no overnight success in a marriage. There is no overnight success in somebody's health and fitness. There is no overnight success spiritually. There is no overnight success financially. Listen, the people that are succeeding did some things that you don't even see. You don't see the early mornings. You don't see the sacrifices. You don't see the prayers. You want what they have. You want the big things, right, that you see in their life, but you don't see the grind. You don't see the self-discipline. You don't see when they wanted to quit, but they didn't quit. You don't see that side of it. You don't see the late nights. You don't see the price they pay. You don't see the criticism they endured. You don't see the self-doubt that they deal with. You don't see the failure in their life. You don't see that they were consistently doing what others did occasionally. You just see the big results. Because remember, it's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. Preacher, what are you trying to say to me? Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Here's what you need to do if you want to see progress this year. Number one, keep running the play. Keep running the play. Keep consistent with the play. What's the play? It's the habits, the daily habits. Keep running the play, number one. Number two, keep looking to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Keep pointing to him. Paul said it. He said, here's the source, guys. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And number three, don't give up. Whatever you do, do not give up. I want you to say that with me. Do not give up. One more time. Do not give up. Don't do it. Don't give up. If you don't give up, you'll never lose. You'll never lose. Because it's the small things that are wins in your life that nobody sees. It's the small changes that you make in your life that are that result in the big wins in your life. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to us by your Holy Spirit and leading us and directing us on some changes that we need to make in our life. Lord, we need to keep running the play. We need some habits in our life if we want to see some change happen. If we want to see success, God, we got to run these plays and we got to have godly habits and we got to have structure and systems in place, God, to help us succeed. We thank you. Your promises are yes and amen, but your promises are going to have some habits in order to achieve them. So Lord, we keep looking to you, Jesus. We keep looking to you. Our eyes are on you. Even when we do what we don't want to do, even when we do what we shouldn't do, Lord, we look to you. We look to you, Jesus. And we refuse to give up. We believe Galatians 6:9 is true. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we make a decision today to not give up. We make a decision today to shift some things in our life. We thank you for speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. Maybe you find yourself far from God. We want to say a prayer of surrender with you in just a moment. Prayer that can change the very course of your life. You're here today. You say, Jacob, that's me. I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I need to come back. I've made some wrong decisions. but today I'm ready to surrender my life. Or maybe you're here and this is all new to you. It's your first time in church in a while or ever, and you say, I want to accept Christ into my life for the very first time. Well, heads are bowed, no one's looking around. We're not here to call you up front, make you stand up or anything like that. But if you would just identify yourself by lifting your hand, say, Jacob, that's me. Count me in on this prayer that we're about to pray together. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. I want to give him my life. Thank you. In the back, thank you right here. Yep. I see your hands. Thank you over here. Yep. Anyone else, before we pray, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to come back to God. Thank you. I see your hand, sir. Awesome, awesome. Many hands up all day. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anybody. I'm just going to say a simple prayer. Thank you. Thank you for your hand, young lady. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. Just three more seconds. Maybe there's one more. Maybe there's one more. You're contemplating it. Just throw that hand. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Over here to the right. Yep, thank you, thank you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let's say this prayer together, church. Say, Jesus, I come to you today. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins to give me a fresh start and a new beginning that starts today in Jesus' name. Church, put your hands together and rejoice with every hand up. Come on.
Once again, thanks for joining us for this week's message. If you would like to know more about us, be sure to visit us at thefuelchurch.com. It's also here where if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can click on the online giving tab. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And we hope and pray you have a blessed week.